So the worst, a speaker's worst nightmare is always when he gets up, he's about to speak, and then there's a Baal Darshan before him. And the Baal Darshan in front of him takes away his drasha. So he's got to speak and he's got nothing to say. So I have to say, on the way, just before I came, I glanced at the notice board and I noticed that someone who spoke last night on any other day of the Torah way spoke about something very similar that I'm going to speak about. Okay, Mishka Pelech. First of all, I'm guessing there's a bit of a different crowd, possibly, maybe a bit of a crossover. And also, even if there is a similarity, what we're going to be saying, speaking about, I think it was Ramoti Posen, I think he spoke last night. So there might be a bit of a crossover, but I'm sure there will be certain things that he didn't say. I might touch on what he was speaking about, but I'm not even sure if it's exactly the same, but even if it was, the main point, there are various other things we're going to discuss as well. So I want to discuss some shailas, to do with Meleches Hoitzah on Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos. Now, I'm not talking about carrying, walking down Broom Lane or King's Road, carrying, because that would be controversial. So I'm talking about either in a city where there's no Eruv, or if you're in Manchester, but you're out of the Eruv. And I want to share with you some shailas that I had personally in Manchester, not in the Eruv. So that's we'll keep it non-controversial. The other thing is that these days many people are learning Daf Yomi. It's become much, much more popular. And we're just finishing Eruv now in Daf Yomi. So this would hopefully be a bit of a chazor on some of the asoidas that have been covered in Shabbos and Eruvin. So for those who learn Daf Yomi, will be a bit of a familiar stuff. So the first shaila that I want to speak about, and again, this might be those who heard last night's share. I haven't heard it, but if you have, it might be similar to what you heard. The first shaila is, what do you do if you're walking along and you find something in your pocket? So the shaila that I had, I was walking, I was up walking at Bering New Road, and every two, three Shabbos, I go and I visit, on Shabbos morning, I go to Berry Shul. That's the one past Whitefield, past Morrison's, about an hour's walk. I go there and I daven there. So every two, 3 weeks I walk up. So I was walking, I was in Prestwich Village. It was probably about 15 minutes away from home. And I realized, I think it was last year's Shabbos Shuvah. So it wasn't a great start to the year. But I'm walking along and I realized in my pocket, in my inside pocket, I had a £20 note. So we'll see the regular shaila, what do you do if you're walking along, you find something. But there's also a couple of other shailas which will come in, make it a bit more tricky. The second shaila I want to discuss, which I want to discuss first, is a shaila which has only come to light in the last few months, which is the shaila, I'm sure many of you may have discussed it or heard a drosha about it or heard discussions about it. Are you allowed to wear a mask on Shabbos? So the short answer is yes. But there are a few different problems with wearing a mask on Shabbos. I just want to go through those issues to see what the lemaisa we can, and we do, if we want to. But there are certain shailas, if I want to go through those shailas. So first of all, a mask is considered a malbush, and possibly even a tachshit. Chazal will matter someone to wear on Shabbos, the Torah is matter anything which is either a malbush, an item of clothing, or a tachshit, something which is an item of, doesn't necessarily mean jewelry or something adorning it. A tachshit has got a slightly different gedder, but something which is a tachshit, something which either adorns someone, makes someone look nice, or helps someone in a certain way. Sorry? Probably, yeah, it's probably both. Probably malbush and a tachshit, because you're wearing it. So a mask is considered a malbush because you're wearing it to protect yourself and others. There's definitely an element of protection of oneself which would be necessary to consider. It wouldn't be enough if it was just protecting other people, but there's definitely an element in every mask. There is a certain element that it protects oneself, and therefore it's considered a malbush, and it might even be considered a tachshit. Particularly some masks are very fancy, very nice, expensive. They look very nice, so it's possible that a mask might be considered a tachshit as well. So bina Torah, there's definitely no problem with wearing a mask. The only thing is, Chazal asked certain things to be worn on Shabbos, even if they're a malbush and even if they're a tachshit, because for two reasons. Chazal said either you might come, it might fall off, We're worried something might fall off, or you might come to take it off. So why would you take it off? So the Gemara talks about a case where someone might come to take it off to show other people. So I don't think we're going to take off a mask to show other people. But
you might have to speak to people properly.
Oh, so but there's another problem. For give you an example, but in Siman Shin Aleph, the Mechaber brings two shittas about gloves, wearing gloves. You're allowed to wear gloves on Shabbos. The Mechaber brings two shittas, whether you can wear gloves or not. Those who asa, who forbid wearing gloves, is because you might come, you might want to take them off to take. you can't shake hands with gloves. The Mechaber says because you might come to, you might want to remove a kinnah from your hair, one's hair, and therefore you might come to take off your gloves, and you need the fine motor skills of without the gloves on to be able to do that. So that's what the Mechaber says. The Mishnah Berurah brings the two shittas, and he says, "Bad." So the Mishnah Berurah says, "We should be mekel, and you're allowed to wear gloves." But the maskon of the Mishnah Berurah is bal nefesh yachmir la'atzmi. Bal nefesh should be machmir, and one shouldn't wear gloves on Shabbos. Okay, so I'm not going into now halacha l'maaseh whether one should or should not wear gloves. I'm just bringing out an example that you see that sometimes Chazal asked something which is perfectly okay, which is a malbush, but Chazal nevertheless asked it because you might come to take it off because of discomfort or you want to do something. So l'chayra a mask l'chayra should come under the same category. Although I'm not worried the mask is going to fall off. I've never seen a mask fall off anyone. They're nice, they're all nice and strong. But when a person, as we know, masks are not particularly comfortable, and after a while of wearing it, if someone is wearing it on the street, then he might want to talk to someone, or he might get hot, or he might get uncomfortable, itchy, and therefore he might take it off. So why are we not choshesh? L'chayra, I would have thought maybe that a mask should be forbidden by Chazal, because although it's a malbush, one might come to take it off, and therefore Chazal would prohibit it, would aser it, bichlal, wearing it, because one might come to take it off. So is that a problem or not? Now, the truth is, when we talk about taking off a mask, if a person is wearing a mask, he doesn't usually take it off and put it back on, take it off. Normally, the way one does it, you pull it down, and you put it under your chin. So the shaila is, if a person were worried the person might come to put it under his chin, normally a person doesn't, if he's, you know, hot or bothered, whatever it is, he doesn't take the whole mask off, generally. But you just put it under your chin because you want it back on too. So if a person puts it under his chin, is that considered derech levisha? So there are some poskim who said, recent poskim who come out with the Milchas Osher's got a whole kutras on Corona, a whole a bunch of simonim, different shilas have come up in the recent for the recent situation. So one of the simonim is on a mask, and he seems to say that wearing it under your chin is considered derech levisha. That's a normal way of wearing it. So even if we're not wearing it, even if you take it off, meaning you put it under your chin, nishkafalech, that's still called wearing it. Maybe because these days so many people are wearing it under their chin. You say you walk along the street, you see, you know, people the whole time walking along with a mask under the chin. It's become kind of normal. So maybe that's why it's considered derech levisha.
Well,
yeah. So we said a mask is zichah malbush.
Right, but it's only a malbush because it's not to protect yourself from others. But if you put it on your chin, it's not protecting anybody. It's not protecting yourself.
Yeah.
It's not a levisha, it's not a cloak.
So what's the idea of levisha? Maybe now it's become a malbush. That's the way people wear it. I don't know.
Yeah,
pashtus. But pashtus, if a person wears it under his chin, pashtus in Achanami, it's not considered. I would say it's a chiddush to say that that's considered a normal way of wearing a mask. I think it's considered a malbush. Pashtus. If a person wears it under his chin, it would be considered a masoi. And a masoi, something which is not a malbush, it's also to carry on Shabbos. It's also to wear it on Shabbos if it's a masoi. So again, l'chayra, we should be, why is there no mocking to say that a mask should be forbidden totally? Because one might come to wear it under their chin, which is a masoi, which takes it out of the category of malbush and puts it into masoi, which is forbidden. And because we're worried that might happen, therefore, Chazal would asa wearing it bichlal.
Is there any difference
to the way these people wear the hatsback? Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, the hatsback with the sunglasses on the head, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, okay, so that's become derech levisha. And sunglasses on the head as well. I don't know, maybe that's also considered not derech levisha. You know, the masks under the. You see these people with the visors, you know, they put the visors back up, you know, it's like a. The Maaser, they bring down for Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky apparently was matter. He said before it's mutter to wear a mask. Now, the only thing is, it could be different, because Reb Chaim lives in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael is the law to wear a mask even outside. We all know the story of that girl who was going around, the famous story that she took a mask off to do something, and then she got shouted at by the police officers. It's a famous story. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have to wear a mask everywhere, including outside. So maybe Reb Chaim was talking about in Eretz Yisrael when you have to wear a mask outside, so it's less likely you're going to take it off. And therefore, if it says it's the law you have to wear outside, therefore, we're not worried you're going to come and take it off. Maybe. But what about in England, when there's no issa to wear, there's no law, sorry, to wear a mask outside? Yet. So, is there a problem of wearing a mask bichlal? So again, I'm not talking about walking down the street locally, I'm saying out of the Eruv, let's keep it non-controversial, out of the Eruv, you're walking along, or in a somewhere where there's no Eruv, and you want to walk along and you want to wear a mask, is there a problem because you might come to remove it under your chin, or take it off, and therefore would it be a mockim to asrit? So the emes is, the reason why we're not chayshish for that, is because even if one would wear it, even if one would put it under their chin and wear it like that, that is considered haitzah kal achiyad. So, although haitzah kal achiyad with a shinoi, carrying something with a shinoi is asr, but Chazal are not going to ask us something because you might come to remove it and wear it in a way which is haitzah kal achiyad, which is only asr midrabbanan. So, that's why we're not chayshish azayvah. It's like a gezerah de gezerah. You're not chayshish so far. However, one should be careful, if one does wear a mask outside, one should be careful not to wear it under the chin, meaning lechatchila. What we're talking about, there's no reason to be, Chazal wouldn't be geyser regular wearing of a mask because you might come to remove it, because even if you do remove it or pull it down under your chin, that was still considered a levisha shaloi kaderech, itzok shaloi kaderech. So there was only midrabon. But lechatchila to go out with a mask under the chin, then the one should be careful not to do that, because that would be an issa of Hatzal, it's a Masoi, even though it's Kalachiyah, but it's still an issa Midrabon. Okay, so Adkan, Hilchos, masks on Shabbos. So, before I come back to the first shayla, I want to say a third shayla, which happened to me a few weeks ago. Again, I was coming out of Berry Shul, down on Berry New Road, and in the more United Synagogue, the English-style shuls, they're more makpid on masks than they are in the Haimish shuls, as you know. And they're very strict. You enter the building, you have to wear a mask. In the building, there's no questions. No, mask on straight away. Okay. So I was wondering, the first week I was there, so I didn't want to take my mask off before I left. I didn't want to upset anyone. So I thought, I'll wear my mask out of the building. So you're allowed to wear a mask outside. So fine, so I wore it. However, I didn't want to wear it all the way home. So what should I do? So I had an idea that as I was going, there was just a bit further up from the shul, there's a bus stop, and next to the bus stop there's a bin. So I thought I'll walk up to the bin, wearing it, and I'll take it off and put it in the bin. Good idea. But then I thought, maybe not. Maybe that could be a problem. Could even be an issa d'oraisa. So why was the problem? Because if the bin is considered a reshus hayochid, then I'll be carrying from a reshus harabim into a, we're talking about in way out of the Eruv, yeah? In Berry Shul, which is past Morrison's, yeah? Okay, maybe not, some say there aren't any Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, some say there are, yeah, without getting, everyone would get into too deep into Eruv now. But it could even be a chashash, a problem, proper Issa Hitzah, carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabim into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If you put something into a bin on Shabbos, it could be a problem of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So it depends how big the bin is. So with the gather of Rosh Hashanah Yachid is something which is 10 to, either a Rosh Hashanah Yachid is an area which is surrounded by walls which are 10 to Fochim high, or you have an Omud, but it's just Rabbim, something like an Omud, or something which looks like an Omud, which is 10 to Fochim high and 4 to Fochim wide. And this Omud actually is quite a good example, because this Omud is 10 to Fochim high, I'm estimating, but 10 to Fochim is not that much, it's 80 centimeters, Kuntur B'chaim Noah, it's 8 centimeters for a Tefach, so it's less than a meter, it's not that high. So as long as it's more than 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim wide, then it's already considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That means if you put anything on top of it, on top is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or inside is also. So for example, if a person, you wouldn't be able to post a letter on Shabbos. A post box is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, standard post box. And you have to check if it's 4 tefachim wide, but Pashtus it would be. And one couldn't post a letter on Shabbos, although I don't know how you would have the letter in the first place because you can't carry it to the thing. But let's say you walked up to a post box and you saw some letters on the floor, so you want to post them. That would be possibly an Issa D'oraisa. You're picking them up from Mishra and putting them in Mishra
Yochid. You're carrying from Mishra Yochid to Mishra
Yochid. So I'll come back to that, yeah. Now, so I wasn't sure about the bin. Is the bin big enough or not? So I picked up my son from Yeshiva on Motzei Shabbos. And I said to him, okay, do you mind if we just go and measure a bin? So he looked at me a bit strangely, curious. So I explained to him, I want to go and measure the bin. I want to see if it's got a din Rishis Yochid. So we drove there. We drove all the way up to the shul, the bin outside the shul. On the way, I noticed that there were many bins, same type of bin. They're all the same. I mean, not all of them, but there's many of these green bins that are sort of round. They're all the same size, same dimension. So this would apply to all of the bins. And we measured it, definitely more than 10 tefachim high, more than 4 tefachim wide easily. It's much more. So it's definitely considered Rishis Yochid. And therefore, if I would have put my mask in that bin, it would have been an Issur D'Oraisa, possibly. Now, okay, so with that, I want to come back now to the original Shiloh which we had, I'll talk about my Shiloh. I was walking along Beit Yehuda Road, out of the Eruv, and and I found a £20 note in my inside pocket. What do I do? So, first of all, as we know, for Shel Melecha Seksa, you need to have an Akira, and the Hanacha. You need to pick it up and put it down. Yeah.
If the bin would have been smaller before.
Yeah. Okay. So it depends how small. So if the bin would have been less than 10 tefachim and less than 4 tefachim wide, then it depends. It's complicated. If it's less than 4 tefachim wide, then if it's less than 10, then most it's a sophic. If it's a got a din mokim patura or caramelus, we'll get to it. If it's higher, if it's taller, it's better. We'll get to that. So you need to do an Akira. Either you need to do an Akira, you need to lift up the chayfetz in the article in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid and put it down the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or the opposite, lift it up in the Rosh Hashanah and put it down the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or you need to lift it up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, carry it 4 amos, and put it down in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Those are the two ways that you're over an Issur D'Oraisa of Hitzah. And you must, in order to be over Issur D'Oraisa, you have to do Akira and a Hanacha, otherwise you're not over. So, a classic case, someone's walking along, they find something in their pocket on Shabbos, they always have to think, have I stopped? So if he hasn't stopped, he's just walked out of his house, or a couple of minutes, and he knows he hasn't stopped, then everyone knows, what you do is, you go. The best thing to do is, does everyone know, what's the best thing to do? So many people say you go back, actually, there's something better to do. Mokhi Patur, yeah. So the best thing to do is put on a Mokhi Patur. What is a Mokhi Patur? So the Mokhi Patur Lekuli Alma is an Omud, again, which is higher than 10 Tefachim, but it's less, and is less than 4 Tefachim wide. Now what is that? I was trying to think. Both post boxes are higher than the Tefachim. Are more than 4 Tefachim wide.
Sometimes in Hollows.
Yeah, they're generally smaller than 10 tefachim, but you can't have them. Someone said to me, maybe a sign. You mean if it's not, right? If it's enclosing or just the yachid, then it's a problem. You mean just a regular railing? Yeah, that could be, yeah. Yeah, although if it's all connected, maybe it's more than 4 tefachim wide. But if it's a smallish railing, yeah, then possibly. I was thinking maybe a street sign. Street sign, you know, a cycle lane sign or a dead end sign, something like that. If it's not too high, you can reach it. So that's very, obviously very narrow, and they're usually higher than 10 tefachim. So you can put it, if you put it there without stopping, you put it there, pop it on there, that's the best. But what happens if you haven't got a Mokhi Patur knocking around anywhere close by? So there's no Mokhi Patur. So then, next best is you turn around. We're talking about you haven't yet stopped. Turn around and you go back to your house, the original house, that you came, the original Shisiyachid that you came out of. Okay, so... Sorry? Yeah, I'm going to get to that, yeah. So, in my case, I didn't have either of those options. There was no more tour around that I could easily put it down on. Plus, there's muksa to couldn't take it out of my pocket, put it on as well. And also, I didn't want to go back home. I was already 15 minutes towards, let's say, davening there starts. Let's say, for example, the moshul starts at 9 o'clock. So I left at 8 o'clock, an hour's walk. I was already at 8:15. If I would go back home, I would get home at 8:30 and then I have to walk another hour. I would get there too late, number one. Number two, I didn't want to add another half an hour onto my already long journey. So it wasn't an option for me to go back home. So what's the third option, number three? If one can't go back to the original Shisiyachid, So the next one is to put it on another Rosh Hashanah. So this is where the bin would actually come in handy. Because now if I haven't yet stopped, yeah, so I came out of Rosh Hashanah, haven't yet stopped, then I should go and put it inside another Rosh Hashanah, either on top of a bin, in a post box, or on top of a
house.
House is a Rosh Hashanah.
So what? Okay.
Oh, sorry. So we'll come to that in a minute. I'm talking about general a Rosh Hashanah, which is available to you, which doesn't necessarily belong to someone. Or you can put it on a car. Okay, but that really does belong to someone. If you put it on a car, it's a Rosh Hashanah. Kemat, all cars have got a din Rosh Hashanah. That means you put something on top of a car, it's got a din Rosh Hashanah. Even this, I measured a couple of cars. Definitely, a Previa is definitely Rosh Hashanah. It's huge. But even the small cars are also, almost all of them are Rosh Hashanah. They're all 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. The only question would be, like a sports car, it's more sporty style car, yeah, a Lamborghini, or even something a bit more regular, but a sporty type of car, which the top of the car, it slopes up, and there's only a very small area at the top, which is which might not be 4 tefachim off straight. It's very sloping. And sloping is not necessarily considered a mechitza, so that might not be considered Rosh Hashanah, you have to know. But most cars are considered Rosh Hashanah. So either so you're walking along, you can't go back, no more Kippur Torah. The next best is to put it onto a Rosh Hashanah, a bin, or a post box. So next time you see someone posting their tissues into a post box of Shabbos, if you don't have chutz, maybe he's, or you see him posting a letter, yeah, don't have chutz, maybe he's posting his tissues, not his letters. So that would be the next best option. Failing that, if you haven't got Rosh Hashanah nearby, then one should go to a different Rosh Hashanah and put it there. Okay, so again, we're talking about you haven't yet stopped. So you've come out of Rosh Hashanah, you've done Akira in Rosh Hashanah, you haven't yet stopped, and therefore you haven't done a Hanacha. So therefore, you do go again and do a Hanacha in a Rosh Hashanah, then you've not been over an Issa Deiraisa. And Akira, when you say Akira Hanacha, doesn't necessarily mean picking up and put it down, it means stopping. A person starts without picking it up and it's already in his pocket, or he stops. That's considered Akira Hanacha. Except there are cases that a person stops, then it's not considered a hanacha. If he stops to adjust his lekatif, he stops to adjust his load, but that's not so usual. If a person stops at the traffic light, or he stops at a road because his car's coming, that's considered a proper hanacha, a proper stopping. So
if you find your pocket, where's Akira there?
So as I was saying, so Akira doesn't necessarily mean picking it up. Akira means if you have something in your pocket and you start walking, that's Akira. Starting to walk is also considered an Akira, and stopping is also an Hanacha, even if you don't pick it up, put it down. Now, the reason why walking into Rosh Hashanah, a different Rosh Hashanah, is worse than the original Rosh Hashanah is because there's actually a Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that if you walk out of your Rosh Hashanah and you walk into someone else's, through Rosh Hashanah, that's an Issa Deiraisa, some Rishonim say. Because it's similar to what the Levium did in the Mishkan, it's similar to the Melech HaMishkan. So it's a Machalikas Rishonim. The Chazanish, Lemaisa, Patsons like the Mekilim, he says you can be Mekel, it's fine. But Lemaisa, there's the Machalikas Rishonim about it. So it's definitely better not to go to a different Rosh Hashanah, because according to some Rishonim, you're being over an Issa Deiraisa. There's also another problem, an Eruvin problem, which is if you go out of your Rosh Hashanah and go into someone else's, then you haven't made an Eruv. You're not allowed to carry something from your Rosh Hashanah to someone else's Rosh Hashanah without an Eruv. So if you find something in your pocket and you want to go into a different Rosh Hashanah, there's no Eruv there. So, okay, so to get around the Issa Deiraisa of carrying, is that definitely better than you can be over an Issa Drabonon of Eruvin. But that's why it's better to go back to the original Rosh Hashanah, so you get around those problems. You don't have the problem of the shine of the Deiraisas, you don't have the problem of Eruvin. Now, this is all if you haven't yet stopped. Of course, the problem is, what if you had stopped? And in my case, I had stopped more than once. Till now it was an onus, it was misasik, I didn't even know it was there. So, okay, but now that I knew I had something in my pocket, I was walking along, so it wouldn't I can't now go to Rosh Hashanah, because since I've stopped, so I've made a Hanach in the Rosh Hashanah, and then an Akira in the Rosh Hashanah. So now I've walked more than 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah, and if I stop now, then I will be doing a Hanach in the Rosh Hashanah. If I go into Rosh Hashanah, then I'll be carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So I couldn't go into Rosh Hashanah, but I didn't want to stop, but I didn't know what to do. And I was carrying 20 pounds. I didn't want to be carrying 20 pounds on Shabbos. So what do I do?
Come to pay for the
So what I did was, Baruch Hashem, actually the right thing. I had to think quickly. What one should do, and just before I get to the answer, just wanted to one more shaila about if a person has stopped. This story happens, someone told me this happened in the past summer. They were in a holiday house, and beautiful holiday house, the middle of nowhere, and they had this nice sized house, nice big garden, but the garden was not enclosed. And they knew before Shabbos they can't carry outside on Shabbos. It wasn't enclosed, it was very, very large, and there was maybe one wall, but nothing more than that. So, fine. Shabbos morning, one of the children, it's a beautiful day, he wants to go out, he's davening, and he walks out of the house carrying his siddur. Without thinking, he doesn't think, you know, he's used to it, it's such a nice day, you know, he's enjoying himself, so he walks out carrying his siddur. And suddenly, the father hears his son shouting, what happened? And you're like, I'm outside, what do I do? So if he hasn't yet stopped, it's fine, we said, just come back straight in. Problem was, he had stopped. You know, initial reaction, oh, I'm carrying. You stop. So he stopped. So now what does he do? He stopped where he is. If he can't come back into Rishus Yochid, because now he stopped. So then he'll be Rishus Rav into Rishus Yochid. Maybe it's not Deiraisa, maybe it's a Carmelist, because it's middle of nowhere, but he can't come back in. So what does he do? So ideally, he should stay there as he is till after Shabbos. But, of course, not so practical. So there are two options he can do. Either you can get a cotton, ask a cotton to take it back in, without the cotton doing a Kira Anocha, where you ask the cotton to walk past, and as he's walking, you put the siddur on him, so he's not actually doing an Akira because he's walking, and then the cotton takes it back into the house, and before he stops, you run back in and you take it off him before he stops. So that way, yeah, but the problem is, if you get a cotton to do that, then you might end up with more malachas because, you know, he did stop, he didn't stop, he forgot, yeah? So it's a bit complicated. So keeping it simple, the best way to do what would be to do is, if the person has stopped, let's say in this case with a siddur, and you can't put it down, ideally you should put it down on the floor. That's of course the best thing to do, but a siddur obviously you can't put down on the floor. Or, let's say if I had 20 pounds, so 20 pounds I was happy to offer up as a korban for Shabbos. But what about if I had 500 pounds in my pocket? You know, I might not want to just sort of let that go. So what do? So there, if it's an expensive item or a siddur, which you can't just put down on the floor, so one should go less than 4 amas, 3.5 amas, stop, and then another less than 4 amas until he can put it down somewhere. Either he can put it down on maybe a bench somewhere, but again, you have to know if that's called Rishus Yochid, or he can even take it into the house and he puts it into the house with a shinur. If he puts it, sort of throws it backwards, then that's okay. So, but if it's a regular item, then just put it down on the floor. Now, sorry, I forgot to mention one point before. If he hasn't stopped, and he hasn't, his fourth option, which is going into a different Rishus Yochid, he should put it down in the Rishus Yochid with the Shinun. Because of this problem of some Rishonim hold it, it's an Issa Deiraisa, if you go from one Rishus Yochid to a different Rishus Yochid through Rishus Rabim, so then, if he's not got any other option, he's got something on him on Shabbos, and he hasn't yet stopped, he should go into a different Rishus Yochid, but he should put it down with the Shinun. So therefore, getting around the problem of this Issa Deiraisa and the problem of Eruvim. So, sorry? Yeah.
Changing people.
Yeah.
What was given to the next
one? Yeah, so that's another option. Yeah, you can do that as well. Yeah, possibly that's better. Because then with one person, you might have to stop. Multiple people. Yeah, it's probably better. If you've got enough people to do that.
Yeah, you can change.
Yeah, if there's enough. If you've got you've got two or three people, yeah, enough enough, yeah. So coming back to my shayla. So the maestro, what did I do? So I didn't have any of these options available to me because I was, as I said, I was already stopped and I couldn't just put it down because I was walking again. So I'd stop, the worst of everything. I'd stopped and I was walking again. So what do I do? So the etza is to kind of put it down with a shinoi, or even better, which is what I did, because it was mukta, I didn't want to touch it. So I emptied my pocket, so without touching it, and it was, and the wind kind of carried it away. I tried to see where the 20 pound note went, so I came back up the shelf, but it was gone. So, but that's the etza. If you're walking along and you've done already a kira in the Rishus Rabim, you've walked down the damas, so now you can't put it down. So the etza is, don't do anocha, just sort of let it out of your pocket. If it's possible, if it's not too big, not too bulky, you let it out of your pocket, and the sort of the wind does the anocha for you, and that way you're not doing a direct anocha. Just to finish off, one point is important to remember to know that if a person is walking along, let's say he walks out without thinking, carrying his coat. So some people think, oh, maybe I carry a coat, put it on quickly. So that's awesome. because putting on a garment, putting on something, that's an anocha, because that's the normal way of the coat is now noch, it's aranocha, it places on you, that's its normal place. So if you put on a coat which you carry, that is considered a hanocha. So that's, one shouldn't do that.
Even if you're walking,
you came out of Rosh Yochid, you're in Rosh Rabim, you're carrying it, yeah, one shouldn't just put it on. You should go back into the original Rosh Yochid. Or if a person is eating, a person is carrying, comes out carrying food, you shouldn't eat it, because again, eating has got the same, it's also, if you eat something, it's considered a hanocha. So those, one should be careful of those. It's like an instinctive to either put the coat on or to eat the food, one should take it back into the original Rosh Yochid if they haven't stopped. Right. Yeah.